19. The State of the World Forum. The State of the World Forum's luxurious meetings, held since 1995, were intended by Mikhail Gorbachev to establish a kind of global brain trust to focus on the present and future of our civilization. One State of the World Forum, SWF, gatherings continue to attract an eclectic assortment of rich people, politicians, celebrities, social change activists, and spiritual gurus. Aims: reinventing the world and global governance. Like Gorbachev, the SWF has a grandiose, worldwide mission. It has sought over the years to contribute to the creation of a new approach required for the effective management of the global system and intends to establish a global leadership network across a multiplicity of disciplines and from around the world dedicated to working toward a sustainable civilization. In 1997, Garrison said that the forum's mission is that of establishing a global network of leaders and change agents from across a spectrum of disciplines who will be given equal standing in deliberations which affect us all. He also proposed to create a new understanding of unity and diversity which must be so affirmative that it suggests a way to reinvent the world. In 2003, the Forum's Commission on Globalization stated that, as the 21st century unfolds, an ever more integrated global system demands an ever more inclusive and holistic approach to global governance. The SWF worldview is standard issue 20th century collectivism, the belief that the ills afflicting humanity are problems that can be solved if the right people lead in setting goals and exercising will. A statement issued by the SWF after its 1997 meeting said, "This effort is being developed in the conviction that the process of globalization is in essence the challenge to envision and create the first global civilization, that the problems of the world are for the first time in history essentially manageable given the scientific, political, and social tools at our disposal, and that humanity, already cooperating in so many areas, stands potentially ready to envision and implement a common vision of the future. The question is not whether we can accomplish these things. We know we can. The question is that of setting priorities, reaching consensus, mobilizing resources, and exercising will." Point one, Ted Turner, one of the co-chairs of the State of the World Forum, two told E! Magazine, "You've got to be hopeful because I think that we're smarter than the opposition because we are thinking long term. We're better educated, and I put my money on the smart minority rather than the dumb majority. Wouldn't you?" 3. At a Time Warner Global Forum in Shanghai, China in September 1999, Turner had described himself as a socialist at heart. 4. As of the fall of 2004, Forbes estimated his net worth at $1.9 billion. Out with traditional religions, in with the new age. State of the World Forum speakers and supporters have repeatedly ridiculed traditional religions, particularly Orthodox Christianity. This is consistent with the SWF's unyielding certainty that, at this unique transitional moment in history, questions are more important than answers, dialogue more constructive than dogma. 6. Dr. Jim Garrison, president of the SWF and self-described follower of inclusive Buddhism, said in 1998 that the days of dogmatic religion are on the wane, adding, "I think that Judaism and Christianity and Islam have done real damage to the planet because they have too many answers." 7. Garrison attacked the Pope for excluding women from the priesthood and talking about contraception as an evil. He also condemned the Hasidic Jews for killing people on the West Bank. And now they're arguing if you're a Jew but don't have a Jewish mother, you're not a Jew. 8. Garrison concluded that the problems caused by subscribing to narrow dogma are shared by all the world's 6 major religions. 9. He said, "If my theology is an impediment, I have to get rid of my theology. I think the world needs to live in a spirit of inquiry, and it's sick out of inquiry that we learn tolerance. It's out of answers that we get dogmatic, and we get violent and destructive with each other. I think history is moving beyond dogma. The conservative Jews and the conservative Christians and the conservative imams, they think what I'm saying is heresy, but I just say to these people, your box is too small, get into a bigger box." Point one, Garrison ended by saying that the SWF is about honoring the mavericks and the heretics. 2. He added, "During times of transition, orthodoxies fall, and the heretics and the mavericks are the people creating the new orthodoxy. 3. Welcome to the new religious order, in which the only heresy will be orthodoxy." Likewise, Ted Turner said in 1999, "Christianity is an eco-unfriendly religion." For at the annual forum meeting in 2000, Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi told the attendees that all traditional systems, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, were embedded in the social and economic systems in which they arose. Their reality maps are a little obsolete. 5. He added that humanity needs a messianic jump, a collective realization that we are members of a larger body. The spirit of the living God, the Shekinah, is waiting for us to grow up. There is the possibility of living heavenly days here on earth. 6. At the start of each day's events, there were blessings. These benedictions were provided by the founder of the Worldwide Indigenous Science Network, a rabbi who leads the Center for Engaged Spirituality at Naropa University, the head of the Sadhu Vaswani Mission, a Hindu organization, the head of the Sri Ramakrishna Spiritual Family, Deepak Chopra, Jonathan Granoff, an interfaith activist who is a follower of the Sufi master. Bawa Muhyiddin, and the president of the Academy for Future Science. 7. Traditional Christianity and Judaism were conspicuous by their absence. As an alternative to the traditional religions, the forum has promoted New Age beliefs from its beginning. In 1995, the San Francisco Chronicle reported that at the first forum, leaders of mainline Western religions or philosophies are mostly absent from the speaker's lineup, while Unorthodox describes many on the list. These include forum speakers such as Willis Harmon, president of the Institute of Noetic Sciences. As a Stanford University electrical engineering professor in the 1960s, he conducted experiments on the effects of psychedelic drugs on human creativity. 8. Since then, forum speakers have remained true to form, with New Age speakers outnumbering by far those who uphold traditional Christianity or Judaism. Speakers and participants at forum events, virtually all of whom are New Age or progressive, have included Caroline Mysss, 9 Andrew Weil, 10 Deepak Chopra, 11 Marianne Williamson, 12 Jean Houston, 1 of Hillary Clinton's spiritual advisors, 1 Margot Anand, 2 Fritjof Capra, 3 Jesse Jackson, 4 Carl Sagan, 5 John Naisbitt, 6 Maurice Strong and Stephen Rockefeller, Earth Charter Movement leaders, 7 Reine Eastler, author of Sacred Pleasures, 8 the executive director of the World Federalist Movement, 9 Rupert Sheldrake, 10 Bella Abzug and Betty Friedan, 11 Maya Angelou, 12 Irvin Laszlo, 13 Brian Swim, 14 Dwayne Elgin, 15 Barbara Marx Hubbard, 16 Stanislav Grof, a transpersonal psychologist, 17 Michael Lerner, 18 Faye Waddleton, 19 Sam Keen, 20 Barbara Streisand, 21 Michael Harner, president of the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, 22 Gerald Jampolsky, 23 Robert Jesse, president of the Council on Spiritual Practices, an organization that promotes use of entheogens, psychoactive plants and chemicals, 4. Spiritual growth, Francis Kissling, leader of Catholics for a Free Choice, a pro-abortion lobby, Patricia Misha, Nick Bunick, described by the forum as a spiritual leader. Bunick claims that he was the Apostle Paul in a past life, Hal Puthoff, an ESP researcher, Michael Murphy and Stephen Donovan, leaders of the Esalen Institute, leaders of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, Charlene Spretnak, of the Green Party, Lynn Twist, of the Hunger Project, Lester Brown, of the World Watch Institute, Ram Dass, Matthew Fox, Houston Smith, and Tony Robbins. Forum President James Garrison worked for 10 years at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California, including service from 1986 to 1990 as executive director of the Esalen Institute's Soviet-American Exchange Program. These adepts are enthusiastic about the forum's activities. Fritjof Capra says, "The forum's collective intellectual power and moral authority are awe-inspiring." Marianne Williamson, proponent of A Course in Miracles 14 and author of A Woman's Worth, says, "The forum is, for me, a very energizing experience, a kind of central headquarters for the consciousness revolution." Marga Burig, former president of the World Council of Churches, said, "The forum has a search for and a presence of spirituality, a hidden trend in a world full of contradiction. My own visions were deepened, widened, and confirmed." Mark Lewix, member of the European Commission's Forward Studies Initiative, says, "When I fly back to Europe, I feel enriched by the intellectual and spiritual energy of so many women and men who are silently creating a new culture and a new world." In a May 1998 paper titled Religion and Governance, Lewix and co-author Harlan Cleveland quoted approvingly from Bishop Swing's book, The Coming United Religions. They appear to have seen the URI as part of a new culture and a new world. progressive, global governance. The forum has favored leftist solutions to political and economic problems, despite the appearance of conservatives such as George H.W. Bush, 1 Margaret Thatcher, 2 James Baker, and George Shultz, 3 at these gatherings. At the 2000 forum, billionaire George Soros criticized Republicans and free markets and called for international organizations, similar to the World Trade Organization, that can set binding rules for labor relations and environmental protection. 4. Gorbachev called for new structures to govern the world economy. Globalization has been privatized. Existing institutions are under the influence of certain powerful interests. We must begin thinking of some kind of government adequate to this changed global world. We need to develop mechanisms of interaction between nation-states and civil society against the maximizing of profits that downgrade the values of the human being. 5. A forum reporter said, George Soros suggested that a transnational body, yet to be formed in shape or detail but perhaps the equal of the WTO, must be established to constrain the more destructive impacts of globalization. Soros added, the environment and other common interests receive short shrift. The best way to strengthen protection of the common interest is through international structures of law. Gorbachev responded with a call for a blueprint for such a body. 6. Most speakers at forum events have agreed that global governance and new UN agencies to manage the world economy are needed. The forum has taken the deliberations of the UN and its conferences as a global consensus around issues confronting the entire human community. They are thus a foundation from which all of us can begin to view the world and the future in a more integrated and holistic way. 7. The forum also claimed that there was a tremendous level of support for and engagement with Forum 2000 from many quarters of the United Nations. 8. At the 1996 forum, the session on educational models for the 21st century stated that the objective of their efforts was to create and sustain a lifelong learning system, one that is globally oriented, culturally adaptable and holistic. The ultimate result would be the creation of a system built upon a new global citizen. 9. In 1997, forum speakers proposed creating a new integral culture, saying that the shift to integral culture must and will take place at all levels of interaction. All roles and relationships will be redefined. Inner spiritual values, intimate family relationships between men and women, and among adults, children and elders, communities, nations, ethnic groups and cultures, global institutions, and the relationship of humans with the natural world and the larger living system. 1. Not even the Soviets went so far. In 2004, Garrison proposed a similarly all-encompassing view of the change that we must make, a leap of faith into a new age. Old beliefs and practices must be surrendered and new ways of living and relating embraced, but this requires a strength of spirit and fortitude of mind uncommon in ordinary times. Leadership during periods of historical turbulence and change is supremely challenging. It must enable the people to abandon what they hold as secure, but which is actually insufficient, and embrace what seems insecure but is potentially sufficient. This can only be done through a vision of the future that instills hope in human possibility. It can only be accomplished with an illumination of light so intense that people surrender their fear of the darkness and are emboldened to take a leap of faith into a new age. 2. The last century saw tens of millions of people killed in order that all roles and relationships would be redefined. In his historical study of genocide and mass killing, political scientist Benjamin Valentino found that communist regimes probably have been responsible for the most violent mass killings in human history. Radical communist regimes have been so closely associated with mass killing because the changes they have sought to bring about in their societies have resulted in the nearly complete material dispossession of vast populations. Communist policies such as agricultural collectivization have stripped tens of millions of people of their homes and property and have obliterated traditional ways of life. In practice, few people have been willing to submit to such severe changes in the absence of violence and coercion. Communist leaders did not set out with the desire to exterminate millions of people, but they did not shy away from mass murder when they believed it was necessary to achieve their goals. 3. This was the result of a creative minority urging mankind to take a leap of faith into a new age. The present-day proponents of spiritual collectivism and an integral culture offer no reason why their planned experiment on mankind will work any better than previous efforts have done. Participants in the 1997 forum toward an integral global paradigm, panel proposed a new, relativist definition of truth. Meaning and information, grounded in specific contexts, become more significant than objective truths grounded in a view of absolute reality. Truth becomes a way of knowing in which we learn to honor our woundedness and our dependency on others. For all must accept the new, holistic worldview. The 1998 forum session on Our Common Enterprise said, "What is now needed is a declaration of integration. The articulation of a framework in which the different aspects of our lives, the individual and the communal, the scientific and the spiritual, the inner and the outer, can again cohere in a way that allows for a new sense of community to emerge. Only within the context of new community and a new sense of integrated wholeness can the problems confronting us be solved. The future thus belongs to those who can see interconnections, who can appreciate the whole as well as the parts, and who can blend one aspect of life with another. To be authentic in the future will be to be integrated. Point one, and what, pray tell, will be the fate of the inauthentic? At the year 2000 forum, the utopian delusion remained intact. Forum planners forecast the emergence of a new cultural matrix and global governance. Humanity is poised to make extraordinary progress toward creating a world that works for an increasing number of people. Indeed, in and through all the vicissitudes of contemporary history, a new cultural matrix is arising based on the integration of all the dimensions of human life and a new sense of personal and civic responsibility. This mandates new thinking concerning global governance and the creation of new mechanisms and institutions whereby governments, the corporate sector, and civil society can interact creatively to solve common problems. Implementing the Population Plan. Robert Mueller says of the Forum Agenda, "Since 1980, we have entered a third period. From now on, the Earth is number one, and humanity is number two. Humanity is number two because we wish humans to decline on this planet. I have just attended the Gorbachev meeting on the state of the world in San Francisco, and I have gained a lot of hope. They had the courage to get some of the best world experts to look into the state of the world and into the future, to create a vision of the society we want in the next millennium, and then do it. They want to implement the population plan, support simple and frugal lives, and get multinational corporations to acquire global consciousness. This gives me hope." Mueller praised Gorbachev as the prophet of a united human family and the global architect who will give the world his vision, plan, and proposals how the Earth and humanity can become the ultimate cosmic success of the universe and of God. The 1995 meeting of the State of the World Forum called on humanity to create an ecumenical, ecological theology centered in a renewed sense of reverence for the environment that might provide a common denominator and rallying point for cooperation between the major world religions. There was strong agreement that religious institutions must wrestle with questions of sexuality, contraception, abortion, and family planning, and take much greater responsibility for addressing the problem of controlling population growth. In its report on the 2000 annual meeting, the forum highlighted this dictum from actor Christopher Reeve: "Tolerance and diversity, acceptance, sharing, making the world a more equal place, these are very noble ideals. Yet we face a problem that if we don't solve it will make it very difficult to achieve. And that is simply the overpopulation of the world." Gorbachev, the former premier of the USSR, got specific about addressing the problem of controlling population growth, one in 1997. He said that, "We will need a quick stabilization of global population, and to do so we need to persuade the people through cultural and educational programs that for a certain transitional period families should limit themselves to one child and then following stabilization of global population to two children. Two, this would, in effect, be a global version of China's current one-child policy." Ted Turner, one of the co-chairs of the State of the World Forum, 3 has proposed to go further, reducing world population from the current 6 billion to 2 billion. In an interview with E! Magazine, an environmentalist publication, Turner explained, "The simplest answer is that the world's population should be about 2 billion, and we've got about 6 billion right now. I haven't done the actuarial tables, but if every woman in the world voluntarily stepped up and said, 'I'll only have one child,' and if we did that for the next 80 to 100 years, that would reduce the kind of suffering we're having. We could have 10 billion people living below the poverty line, or we could have 2 billion people living well and having color TVs and an automobile. The planet can support that number of people, and that's the way it was in 1930. You didn't have the global warming problem then, or all these problems that have occurred since the population has built up. And how you get there is very complicated. It's going to take a lot of education and improvements in healthcare. Personally, I think the population should be closer to when we had indigenous populations, back before the advent of farming. 15,000 years ago, there was somewhere between 40 and 100 million people. But population researchers, Paul, Ann, and Ehrlich have convinced me that if we're going to have a modern infrastructure, with commercial airlines and interstate highways around the world, we're going to need about 2 billion people to support it. Point 4. Turner did not specify how this population plan would be enforced. The lighter side of the forum. Nude marches, tantric sex, and entheogens. The forum has its lighter side, as well. At a forum discussion on nuclear disarmament in October 1999, Patch Adams told the gathering of 40 activists that the only way to call attention to the Y2K danger of Russian nuclear warheads was for everybody to take off their clothes and march down Van Ness. The next thing you know, clothes were dropping and forum folks were following Pied Piper Adams down the block, chanting anti-nuke slogans, such as disrobe for disarmament, 5 while marching nude down a major street in downtown San Francisco. Point 6 in 1998 and 1999, the tantric sex teacher Margot Onan spread her message to forum participants, including the usual swipe at Christianity. According to an account prepared by forum staff in 1998, Ms. Onand is a love and ecstasy trainer and has developed a course of orgasmic training which is taught in 9 institutions in several countries, producing 20,000 graduates to date. She said sex was at the root of all life, and its celebration and understanding was therefore vital to understanding and loving each other. Unfortunately, at present sex was not taken sufficiently seriously, and an anti-ecstatic conspiracy had crashed the party. How can we love our planet and each other when the teaching of our dominant religion is that sex is somehow dirty and that we are conceived in original sin, Ms. Onand said. The importance of sex in political terms should not be underestimated, she said. When healing takes place, sexual energy has enormous power. Sex was also hugely important for leadership. You cannot be a good leader if you are sexually wounded. One at the 1999 forum, Onant led a panel discussion on meditation, power, and politics, with participation by New Age luminaries Dean Ornish, Deepak Chopra, and Marianne Williamson. Point 2 Onant made a repeat appearance in 2000, leading a discussion of sex, power, and globalization. 3. The guru of Tantra, however, has demonstrated the limits of her approach to ecstasy and enlightenment. When a journalist for a left-wing alternative newspaper contacted her for an interview, she huffily declined to talk once she learned that she wasn't the sole subject of a story about tantric sex teachers in the San Francisco Bay Area. Point 4, the journalist reported. She also was upset at the idea of playing second banana to Joseph Kramer, who is profiled in the accompanying story. I'm more important than Joseph Kramer, she shrieked in her French accent. I was the first on this scene. He is less important in scope. Onand had a mantra, all right, and it was what's in it for me, which she said quite a few times during our conversation. 5. If nudity and forums on tantric sex did not provide sufficient stress relief to forum participants, discussion of religious drug use might have done so. Over the years, the State of the World Forum has provided a high-status platform for advocates of spiritual use of hallucinogens. A 1996 forum panel on drugs, technology, and the mind in the 21st century involved a nostalgic look at the drug culture of the 1960s. The report was written by Ethan Nadelman, director of the Lindesmith Center, a drug policy advocacy organization funded by George Soros. Point 6, the forum panel's report said, Robert Jesse and Jeff Bronfman focused on the religious aspects of hallucinogenic drugs and discussed the implications of their work for drug policy. Other participants who included Ram Dass, Michael Aldrich, John Perry Barlow, Mitch Kapper, Steve Cubby, and Howard Kornfeld spoke about therapeutic uses of these drugs, their own and others' personal experiences, and the political responses which these drugs generate in the U.S. and other societies. The panel presented a remarkable opportunity to renew some of the discussions which proliferated a generation ago, but which then were lost as one of the casualties of the war on drugs. 77 contributors to 2 pro-entheogen books, Entheogens and the Future of Religion and Psychoactive Sacramentals, Essays on Entheogens and Religion, attended or spoke at State of the World Forum events in 1995, 1996, or 1997. Stanislav Grof, Robert Jesse, Jack Kornfeld, and in Alexander Shulgin, Houston, Smith, and Charles Tart. At an October 30, 1998 forum on Rogue Nukes, the Mafia and Drug Cartel Connection, former Senator Alan Cranston and Men's Warehouse CEO George Zimmer proposed that we should legalize marijuana and re-examine laws on other drugs. Simple living for the global elite. At the 1995 State of the World Forum, the final report of the Working Roundtable on the Environment said, all nations, but particularly the wealthiest ones, should adjust the present wasteful patterns of consumption. The limited carrying capacity of our physical planet raises profound questions about the material lifestyles of the rich, about simpler and less energy-intensive lifestyles all over the world, and about a major redistribution of future development opportunities. Three, the forum's call for simple living echoed the distress that Alice Bailey had expressed in 1948 about overconsumption in America, one of the lessons to be learnt by humanity at the present time, a time which is the antechamber to the new age, is how few material things are really necessary to life and happiness. The lesson is not yet learnt. It is, however, essentially one of the values to be extracted out of this period of appalling deprivations through which men are every day passing. The real tragedy is that the Western Hemisphere, particularly the United States, will not share in this definite spiritual and vitalizing process. They are at present too selfish to permit it to happen. Point four, while participants in the 1995 forum were discussing profound questions about the material lifestyles of the rich, they had the opportunity to experience such lifestyles. The September 28, 1995 San Francisco Chronicle reported, last night's meal, September 27th, was prepared for the elite 500 attending the forum by Chef Joyce Goldstein of Square One Restaurant. She was the first of a succession of celebrity chefs who will cook up a storm for the forum. Others will include Wolfgang Puck, Julian Serrano of Masa's, and Joachim Splitchell of the Patina Restaurant in Los Angeles. Five, Goldstein's meal featured a smoked trout salad, followed by filet of beef and shashlik marinade, and a dessert of panna cotta with autumn fruit. 6. Although Gorbachev's Green Cross International supports a basic sustainable level of per capita material consumption, 7. Gorbachev himself enjoyed the lifestyle of the rich and famous while he was at the 1995 forum. On October 2, 1995, the society columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle wrote, photographer slash author Proctor Jones and his wife, Martha, moved the furniture out of their living room Friday to make room for the dinner they hosted that evening for Raisa and Mikhail Gorbachev. The event, $5,000 a couple, more than 30 guests, was a benefit for Global Green. Gorby is founding president of Green Cross International, a partner of GG, Global Green. Among the guests at dinner, filet mignon with watercress sauce or salmon fillets, followed by caterer Paula LaDuke's classic Grand Marnier soufflés, were Annette Gellert, Indiana Governor Evan Bay, art gallery owner Charles Campbell with wife Glenna, and the Joneses' neighbors, Ice and Robert Kinmore, who hosted a reception, more than 200 guests, at $250 a person, at their home before the dinner. The Kinmores gave the Gorbys a little gift, a pencil case that had belonged to Tsar Alexander. Ice had bought Tsar Alexander's breakfast china set at a Sotheby's sale in London. I'm such an egomaniac, I buy anything with an A on it, she said, and the case and a few other things were thrown in with it. Not thrown in with it, the pearl necklace with a diamond and sapphire pendant, the size of Tsar Alexander's tablespoon. Ice was wearing point one, not bad, simpler and less energy-intensive lifestyles, if you can get them. Catering by gourmet chefs, filet mignon, $5,000 fundraising dinners, and jewels with a diamond and sapphire pendant the size of Tsar Alexander's tablespoon. At the 1998 forum, nuclear physicist Hans-Peter Dürr, director of the Max Planck Institute for Physics, said, Europeans were using four times and Americans nearly seven times the amount of energy per person than the Earth could sustain. However, he justified his own jet-set lifestyle. His flight from Germany to San Francisco, for example, used up a year's supply of his suggested energy slave allocation. However, he said the benefits of sharing his thoughts on the overuse of energy with the corporate leaders attending the State of the World Forum outweighed the cost to the planet. To propagate this idea, you have to travel around. The bottom line, we should cut energy use by at least 75%. There would be an exemption from this mandate for the enlightened ones, whose global mission requires them to live high on the hog. Postmodern shamanism. At the 1995 forum, multimedia technology meshed with ancient shamanism. The cries of apes, and champagne-drinking crowds of people in business suits. Anita Coolidge, writing for the San Diego Earth-Times, reported, "The Native American contingent of indigenous peoples, led by Chief Oren Lyons, chose the perfect moment to introduce their main message. The cocktail party setting was truly mind-altering to begin with. Two giant video screens had been set up at one end of the room as a demonstration of new multimedia (SICK) techniques. A computer linked a live video camera and a digitized imaging system for superimposed images that continually moved and changed on the screens. Two small altars containing fetishes and found objects were located between the screens, with burning candles adding to the palpable vortex created there. Music was played by a group of three or four musicians on instruments looking more like pieces of iron art than anything musical I've ever seen, with a distinctly harmonious, even celestial result. As the group in business suits mingled and mixed and plied themselves with champagne, Oren Lyons and others stepped forward to address them. A hush fell as a statement was read, a sincere plea to be firm with major corporations to do business in ways that do not harm the environment, to save our environment for our children and our children's children. Moved by her own commitment to the environment and her 35 years of communion with chimpanzees, Jane Goodall stepped forward from the crowd and added a few words of her own, urging the crowd to heed the message just delivered. And, without pausing, as easily as she had spoken the words, she emitted a hoo-hoo-hoo cry directly from the nation of chimps, startling sounds that surely galvanized the natives' plea at the cellular level of all those present. To honor the earth and all the nations thereof, point one, the forum's mix of power and New Age spirituality continued to draw well-heeled crowds in 1997. Some joined a ritualistic and experiential shamanic ritual in a session titled Remembrance, an experiential process to regain the indigenous integral mind. The three roundtables of the indigenous mind theme consisted of a Hawaiian awa ceremony and private consultations in an indigenous meditation room. Sessions were ritualistic and experiential, each led, SICK, by a traditional healer and all aimed at awakening the awareness of indigenous, whole, mind, and ancestral connectedness in participants. Two similar antics occurred at the 2000 Forum. Working with the Worldwide Indigenous Science Network and the Ringing Rocks Foundation, a ceremonial room was constructed which offered a simulated Iroquois longhouse and a Hawaiian ceremonial circle. As well as hosting a number of workshops, the longhouse served as an open space where forum participants could meditate, consult with healers, and take personal time. Three, in 1997, inventor Leslie Danziger told the forum that she received the idea for a new light-bending material in a vision and rebuked her audience for insensitivity to spirit and the earth. At the end of her speech, Leslie Danziger received her final standing ovation. Shaking with fear and relief, Leslie was swept off the podium into a crowd of suits and ties that had just been slapped around by her. She was their leader. She had hit them where it counted. She had them. She was euphoric. For in this manner, the suits and ties have hailed their own doom. Malcolm Muggeridge said of this phenomenon, "What but a death wish could bring about so complete a reversal of all the normal worldly considerations of good sense, self-interest, and a desire to survive?" I remember reading in Taine's Origins de la France Contemporaine of how, shortly before the Revolution, a party of affluent liberal intellectuals were discussing over their after-dinner cognac all the wonderful things that were going to happen when the Bourbon regime was abolished and freedom a la Voltaire and Jean-Jacques Rousseau reigned supreme. One of the guests, hitherto silent, suddenly spoke up. "Yes," he said, "the Bourbon regime would indeed be overthrown, and in the process," pointing round, "you and you, and you will be carried screaming to the guillotine. You and you, and you go into penurious exile," and, now pointing in the direction of some of the elegant ladies present, "you and you, and you will hawk your bodies round from sansculotte to sansculotte." There was a moment of silence while this, as it turned out, all too exact prophecy sank in, and then the previous conversation was resumed. I know several fashionable and affluent households in London and Washington and Paris where similar conversations take place, and where similarly exact prophecies might be made, without, as on the occasion Taine so appositely described, having the slightest impact. The forum's elite supporters. Given the spacey agenda of the forum, it is sobering to note that numerous business leaders, politicians, and bureaucrats with global influence have participated in its events. Participants have included Zbigniew Brzezinski, National Security Advisor to President Carter. 1. Vicente Fox, President of Mexico. 2. George Soros. 3. Colin Powell. 4. John Sweeney, President of the AFL-CIO. 5. George Becker, President of the United Steelworkers of America. 6. Executives from UNICEF, the UN Development Program, UNESCO, the UN Population Fund, the UN Environmental Program, the World Bank, the International Labor Organization, and the Commission on Global Governance. 7. George Berthoen, European Chairman of the Trilateral Commission from 1975 to 1992. 8. Walter Cronkite. 9. The Director of the Jet Propulsion Laboratories at the California Institute of Technology. 10. The Director of the American Medical Association. 11. And Maurice Strong, who is Senior Advisor to the UN Secretary General and to the World Bank. 12. Prominent corporations and foundations likewise support the forum, regardless of its new age and utopian orientation. The forum acknowledges financial and programmatic support since 1995 from many prominent foundations. The Court Foundation, Fondazione Rispetto e Parità, the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, the John Templeton Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the W. K. Kellogg Foundation, and the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, and many others. 13. Corporate and governmental donors have included American Express, Archer Daniels Midland, Booz Allen Hamilton, General Motors Acceptance Corporation, Time Warner, PricewaterhouseCoopers, McKinsey & Company, the Royal Bank of Canada, Cigna, Steelcase, the Conference Board, and the Canadian International Development Agency. 14. Other prominent foundations and corporations listed as partners by the SWF include the Abraham Fund, BBC World Television, British Airways, the Carnegie Corporation of New York, Chevron, the Club of Budapest, CNN, The Economist, the Fetzer Institute, the Gorbachev Foundation / Moscow, Harvard University, the Heinz Foundation, Hewlett-Packard, Johnson & Johnson, Kaiser Permanente, Louisiana Pacific, Macy's West, the Men's Warehouse, the John Merck Fund, Montgomery Securities, NASDAQ, Occidental Petroleum, Oracle, and the Prince of Wales Business Leaders Forum. 1. The one major individual donor named on the SWF site is Joe Firmage, too, who had resigned in 1999 from the billion-dollar internet consulting firm that he had founded in order to be free to promote his belief that many of today's high-tech advancements, including semiconductors, fiber optics, and lasers, came from aliens. 3. A UN connection is built into the forum's management structure. Its 21 current co-chairs include Ruud Lubbers, UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Federico Mayer, Director General of UNESCO from 1987 to 1999, Gertrude Mongella, Secretary General of the UN World Conference on Women in Beijing, and Walin Dao, Secretary General of the UN Habitat II Conference in Istanbul. 4. The forum lists the UN, UNICEF, and the UN Development Program among its partners. 5. With leaders and supporters such as these, it would unwise to write off the State of the World Forum as a meaningless, California-style diversion for people with more money than common sense. The leaders of the SWF have a clear spiritual and political agenda. In the aftermath of a global crisis, they could realize their dreams.